Welcome back to the Sister Brunch Podcast, Season 7. This is the podcast that is building the largest archive anywhere of the stories of Black women and Black gender expansive people who are not just working, not just trying. These are people who are thriving in film, TV, and media. I'm Fanshan Cox. I'm the executive producer and the host of the Sister Brunch Podcast. And this season, we are bringing you Sister Brunch from a studio. This is the first time ever that Sister Brunch has taken place live. So all of our guests are right here in Los Angeles. And this studio is You Podcaster. And we just love them. Black-owned company. If you're looking for a place to do any of your podcast recordings, we recommend that you check them out. We are so excited and truly honored to welcome today's guest. She's an award-winning producer and CEO of Game Changer Films. We just love just the name of it tells us everything about what our guest does. She spent her whole career making sure that voices that are too often overlooked get heard, get seen, get paid, get credited what they deserve. You have felt her influence from projects like Real Women Have Curves and Dear White People. And many first saw her passion for inclusive hiring on HBO's Project Greenlight. Please help us welcome the indomitable, true culture shifter, Effie Brown.
Oh my God, I sound so fancy. Thank you. I was like, who are you talking about right now?
It's you. Oh my goodness, Effie, truly. We're so honored.
Okay. I love you so much, but like, we are real sisters. Like, we're like, we are all of the same, in the same. Like, it's all good.
I realized as we were preparing for this interview that I don't know your full story. I don't know where you were born. I don't know how you really kind of crossed over.
Got down in this world. Like, how did you get here from Fort Dix, New Jersey?
Right? That's it. Okay. See, I didn't know that.
I'm a Jersey girl. I was born at Fort Dix, New Jersey. I'm an Army brat. I grew up, myself and I, the voice. In Willingboro, New Jersey. Okay. And then I have to just say, I mean, really quickly, because it can take forever. Like, I'm a woman of a certain age. I have a lot of history.
Yes.
I always knew from a very young age that I wanted to go into show business. I remember my mom being like my smile, I'd always go, Effie, smile. And I'd be like, my mom was like autumn teeth, like smile, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Smile,
that. Yes. I know what you mean?
Exactly. I'm like showbiz. Yes, you're like, I your showbiz it. Smile. Yes. So like, even from like a little kid, I was always like, hello world. And so I've always known I wanted it to be in film and TV, but I'm just going to keep talking because I just riff and you're going to be like,
you should and keep talking.
No, okay, good. I was like, so I'm just like sort of relaxing.
Yes.
No, so I mean, like, because people like, what, like from New Jersey to where you are now.
But wait. Ahead, so please. What did you know about showbiz? Like, were there?
I knew nothing about, okay. I mean, I just knew that it was like, I'm a latchkey kid. Like, I was born in the 70s. Like, yep. You know what I mean? Yep. Both of my parents worked, you know what I mean? I have a brother and we were like, walk home from school, like, and I would watch like General Hospital, like I'd watch my shows, I'd watch, you know, and I was like, I want to be there. And I think, you know, I'm like, well, we might get a little spiritual, but like, I do feel that there's certain people that are put on this world that you sort of, they know, like God's like, you're supposed to do this, do that. And so I'm like, not like, like be a big whatever, but to help, to move something along. Yes. And I have always known, like from like a kid, of being like, you can change the world through story. And I remember, like, you know, and it's a story that, like, I was always a little extra, and my mother needed a break, and I was like, get her out of the house. And so my dad took me to the movies, and we saw Alien. Now we shouldn't. I was way too young to see Alien.
Okay, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I just remember looking at that and seeing that was like one of the first movies where a woman saved herself. Yes. It was a multicultural crew.
Yes.
Yaphet Kotto was, you know, the black guy didn't die first and he almost lasted to the bitter end. And he was friends with Harry Dean Stanton, who was like sort of a white good old boy, but they were best friends. Mm. And I just remember looking around the movie theater and seeing white, black, old, young, whatever. Granted, I think I was the youngest because people were like, why do you have a child in Alien?
Yes.
You know what I mean? And I was like, look at this. We brought all these people together to see one thing. Do you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And it really was something that moved me. I was like, oh, women can save themselves. Do you know what I mean? Which is big. Yes. And I like adventure and all of that good stuff. And then the other movie.
I think that's going to be our tagline for Sister Brunch now. Like, building the largest archive and women saving themselves.
Get into that. Hopefully, because like, it is real. They're coming for our throats right now. We need like an underground railroad for real. Like, we need our new Harriet Tubmans to be like, everybody come on, because they're coming for us and let's go.
Yes, yes.
And then the other movie that I really loved that I saw as a young person was The Warriors. Remember the Walter like, Warriors, can you dig it? We're like, literally, again, it was all these groups, disparate groups in New York, all coming together to fight the big bad, which was like the oppressive, you know. We'll go into like government, local government, you know, police, all of that. Mm-hmm. And then there was an assassin. Anyway, and I remember just seeing that and being like, look, this is a movie. And I keep hitting the microphone. I'm going to get mad at me. A movie where like disparate people coming together for a common goal. And it's like an adventure.
Yes.
And I was hooked and I was in. And that's what I wanted to do. And I didn't know how to go into it because I was like, I'll be an actress. Right?
Okay.
You know what I mean? And my mother was like, oh. And I love, like, I always get my mother, because like, she's very cool. But like, you know, she was like, okay, you are a dark skinned black girl. I had a Jerry curl. It was not even a good Jerry curl. It was like Jerry curl. Like, I couldn't even afford the RL.
The K-I.
I mean? I was like my granny would literally like see me coming and like throw a towel, on the back
on the couch.
Oh, like it was like so glow. Like, and then like, I literally, and there's like, what? Yeah! You know what I mean? She's big Effie. I'm little Effie.
Yes.
So like, you know what I mean? And she, you know, my mother was a little terrified, and both my parents were like, you like to talk. You talk a lot. Go be a lawyer. Maybe a lawyer. You want to be a lawyer? You want to be a lawyer? Or a doctor or something like that. And I was like, nope, I'm going to be this. And at the time, you know, there was like Grace Jones.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? That's all
right.
Like dark skin. You know what I mean? There's a lot of colorism. But remember, I'm a child of the 70s. You know what I mean? You get to be like, ah. And anyway, so like I came up through acting. My father took all of us to California. He was in human resources for Avery Dennison International. So we all moved to California. And I was like, I felt like I manifested it. Do you know what I mean? Like, I conjured that up, like getting out there. I just need to get closer, because I knew that that's where I was supposed to
be. It was your path. I've known all along.
Like, I didn't know what or how. And like, I think I'm doing, like, there's something else I'm getting ready to do.
Is it
and
acting?
I'm just going
to
be prepared.
Are we going to go back to?
No. I'm definitely interested in, it's definitely a brand, like getting the brand together but I want to make sure that I get resources. Like, I want to have a fund. Like, my end game, my deathbed is I want to have a collective fund where people can get financing to make their movies and have it. When I say a collective of being disparate, it can be like five different companies. I'm sorry, like, I have a bit of the groundwork of this, but like, there's a pool of money, and like, I know what my game changer brand is, so and so's with theirs and theirs, but we all feed into the same pot. And like,
Effie,
maybe out of the
Effie,
five, maybe like four of them may fail, but one won't fail.
Exactly.
And then it feeds back in.
And
we all know of like, you know, there's a friend I have named Heather Ray. And she's like talking about circular leadership.
Yes.
And I was like, this patriarchal leadership that we've had
not working,
but women are circular leadership, feminine leadership, and being like, you know what we're going to do? If we all have this and we all contribute, it doesn't matter like who put in what or how, because like, I might be able to put in the most, but my movies may fail, but your movie may win and replenish the pot. Do you know what I'm saying? Like,
you're planting the seeds. We'll be back in touch about
100%.
That.
100%. Where I'm saying, like, that's where I feel that I'm going. And then we can go into like, what I'm doing now, like
with game changer
platforms and all of that
verticals
sort of stuff.
And
all of that good stuff. Anyway, I'm not
saying
that.
Okay.
Rambling.
So
good luck keeping us on a
tangent. So poor Sam. She's going to have a lot of work to do. So, okay. You come to California though. So because what I famously know you from is Film Independence Project Involve. You were in the first class.
The very, very first class.
So was that your first like entree into kind of that level?
I have to say, like, I knew, again, like, I went to Loyola Marymount University.
Okay.
And I got in on a theater scholarship because back in the day, like, we black, my parents are like dope. You know what I mean? They're like, I have a brother with this, like, we're solidly middle class, but we were like, they're like, we're not paying $10,000 for you to have a Super 8 camera with those video, like back in the day, video cameras were like a huge box.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
So they're like, I had to use what I had. But when I got into Loyola, I went right over to the film school and I was like, look, you need to let me in. I remember the teacher, his name is Howard Laffick. And he, like, literally, and I was like, you know what? and I put every, and I'm not proud of this, but I kind of am. I played every card that I had. I was like, I'm a woman. I'm a black woman. Like, yes. And you don't have anybody. Like, how many of us do you have in this program? Yes. Do you know what I mean? He was like, easy, Tiger. And I was like, I remember, I was like, I'm going to be bigger than like Jerry Bruckheimer and Oprah Winfrey. And then I remember him looking up and he was like, kid. And I was like, and I didn't know that, like, you're stupid. Like, what do you guys like? At the time, I wish I had half the career above. Do you know what I mean? Like, no, I'm not mad. No, trust. I want that Oprah money and Jerry Bruckheimer money when
okay,
I have that.
Okay, we okay. plant no seeds.
Do you know what
and
I
we'll
mean?
Be
I'll
be touch.
Like,
yes,
listen,
yes,
I'm going to be really real with everybody.
Every seed for that. I mean, this,
we can
yes,
do that. But, like,
yes.
but on paper, like, you know, I remember he laughed and he goes like, kid, like, you had me when you walked in. Like, easy,
yes.
Tiger. And Howard let me in. And that's how that is where I started. And like, and it was that moment. I advocated for myself. I had someone who was an ally and he was like, you know, and it was sweet because like, and that's why I think mentorship is really important now, because you see these kids today that are like, it's going to be great. I'm going to be a billionaire and I'm going to be, and you, and I'm like, I hope
you
so, baby.
Any idea.
Because you know what I mean? Like, cause, and, yes. I, you know, and he's, and I love, I, you know, and he was like, like, there's not many people that look like me, certainly not a lot of women, and to be like, and I want to be big like this. And he's like, and he knew, we talk now, and he was like, and I just hope that you were able to keep this, like a tenth of that gumption, like, through your life. Do you
yes.
know what I mean? Because, like,
yes.
you know, I don't know about you, but, like, we've gotten some kidney punches. Like, do you know what I mean? Some gut punches and things that, like, most people would be like, yo.
Well, that's a perfect transition into Project Greenlight because you don't, I mean, this was, you know, I was sitting there watching that initial episode so excited because here was Effie Brown, who I got to know you through Film Independent. Yeah. I was, you know, you continue to be my hero and to be the model that I'm following. And here was Effie Brown with my two friends that I grew up with.
Oh, that's
and
so, right. That's right. You're best friends with Matt Damon and Ben Affleck. That's right, girl. I forgot.
No idea how excited I was to watch that pilot episode. And I was
have
like,
they ever said anything? They are, sorry. I want to hear. Okay. Sorry. This is going to be real. Like,
exactly.
I want to know what they said.
Yes.
They have not spoken to me. Now that I'm in the academy, I'm a governor in the academy.
Yes.
I'm fancy now. I'm a trustee.
There's
you know
so
what I mean?
I know. Because there's
never
so much
seen
of your,
them.
Okay.
I've never seen, like, I saw, okay, this is so gossipy and you're going to cut all this out probably. But anyway, or not.
Say it.
But it's so funny. I want to know, I have not seen, heard, or anything from them since, like, I remember
since
I knew that I was in trouble. That trouble. We had the premiere and I was like, oh my God, hey, Matt. And I remember you can, like, read someone's micro expressions. Mm-hmm. And it was, and like, and I'm also a child of the 70s and 80s. And like, as when you're going into that house, like, latchkey kid, like, when you're like, you see the belt come out, you're like, how kind of a day we're going to have? Like, do you know what I mean? You get to read, like, is mom mad? Mom, like, what's going on? I could see that, like, it was an instant. And then, it came on, like, hey, F. And I was like, I had that moment. I was like, oh, he doesn't like you.
You felt it.
I knew it. And then that's when, and then it all sort of, like, rolled out. But I'm always dying to find out. Like, cause I see.
So I'll tell you on the other side exactly what was going down, which is, you know, I'm all excited. I don't know if you remember, you had come to see my one woman show at a theater in Hollywood. All of this was coinciding. So the show, I feel like we did the show maybe 3-4 months before the pilot came out.
Yeah.
So I'm all excited because I'm like, Effie came to my show, so like she knows me now, and you know, and I'm and now they're all going to be together on the show, and I'm watching the pilot, and just, you know, my face is just falling, and I'm like, what the fuck? This is not how we grew up. This is not what any of us say that we stand for. And here Matt was saying everything that was the opposite of what we were raised to believe. And meanwhile, they were executive producers of the show. And the show was all about, like, confronting racism and being aware.
It was so funny, the show, and this is so gossipy. I love this. I totally forgot, Fanchon, that you were like, the show, literally, like, Project Greenlight was literally supposed to be like, you pick a filmmaker out of Oblivion,
yes,
you make their
but
movie,
they were about
and
to
you
pick,
document
like the wealthy white guy.
it was so fascinating. It was all so, like, I think, and it was like 10
yes.
years ago, like before,
yes.
remember, like, it was even before there was 2014, a conversation.
2014, 2015,
yeah.
something like that.
Before there was a conversation, like, no one was talking about diversity.
But you started
equity,
the, but that's
well,
the
but
point.
It was through practice. Do you know what I mean? Of just being like, if we're not good enough to have a role in the movie, speaking, I'm not going to, and I'm not not going to hire maids and drivers that are people of color if we can't
I have the line memorized that you had to say before you said it was. It was like, with all love in my heart.
With love in my heart. That's a tag of my quilting thing. I just go like, with love in my heart.
And, you know, and all the rest of us. But what I meant by the show that I did, that they were executive producers
Green. I was like, they hadn't meant to do it that way,
right? So all to say, Effie Brown, I want you to know, you are the reason that the inclusion writer exists. Because the day after that aired, I called them both and I was like, this is not us. This is not how we were raised. What is happening? And certainly, at that time, I think I had like 250 followers on Facebook for the show. And I was like, I'm taking your names off of the Facebook. And they called and they were like, what did we do? What's wrong? Despite the world at that point making a hashtag, Damonsplaining, et cetera. But eventually that phone call led to my working with them. And within 2 weeks of working with them, I reached out to USC. And that's when Dr. Stacey Smith told me about her idea for this. It was called an equity clause at the time. And that led to us telling Ben and Matt, you have to be the ones to lead this charge. And if you do, we can put these... Girl, I know.
I'm being quiet. I'm like
but,
this. I'm
and
like,
you should... And let's get into it. And I know this is a time thing, but I'm like... But because I started working there, that's what led to me be able to call. And then the guilt and shame that they were having based on what the world was saying to them, you didn't have to do anything else. It had been done. Now, did they do what they said they were going to do on the inclusion rider? That's a whole nother conversation. But the beautiful thing is I'm doing it at the state level now. So at the film commission, that's what it is.
Like, sisters are saving themselves.
So I want you to know that, and I hate that, always hate when moments like that, that we have to get there. We have to have that kind of trauma, which like truly that was for you to, when you say love in my heart, like that's, you know. But you are the reason that now at the state level, there is policy.
I appreciate that. So, I mean, that was, I think it's great. And I just said, like, I just always go back and say, I have not heard from them. And I have not spoken to them. They have not spoken to me.
Yep.
Like since the day that premiere, like zero,
and
that's the thing where
you deserve.
Like now, and also there was another TV show on HBO, Project Greenlight with Issa Rae and all that. Never was called.
Really?
Never anything. Like literally, when I say there was a blacklisting that went on, like literally, like HBO, like, and I was like, oh, they're doing like a people of color Project Greenlight. I never, like, not even mentioned, not even asked to participate. Nothing. Like it was just like ghost. And I was like, all right. I mean, I am grateful. Like the happy part about this is, you know, like the where we wound up now, which is awesome. Mm-hmm. I learned that Black Twitter is real. Mm-hmm. I learned the power of silence and pausing and let somebody else, like, you don't got to defend yourself. There's people up here who will do that. So I was like, thank you, Jesus. Do you know what I mean? Yes. So that was great. Yes.
But you know, but we should, none of us should have to go through the trauma portion of that.
But like, you know, here's the thing, like this industry is traumatic. It's wonderful. It's, you know what I mean? It's expansive. It's all really great things, but you know, it's hard.
If you're in it, you know what I mean? It's hard to do,
but that's why you have to be like, if you have any inkling to be a doctor or a lawyer or a plumber,
go do that.
But if you have no other choice, like I have no other, I'm like, what else can I do with my life? And I'm like, I think they're doing it. Right?
You were called to do it. There's lots of ways that you can support us on Sister Brunch. You can join our Patreon, patreon.com/sisterbrunch, S-I-S-T-A brunch. Or you can follow us on Instagram at Sister Brunch Podcast. That's S-I-S-T-A Podcast. join us there, engage with the content, let us know what kind of guests you might want to have on or questions that you have for us to ask our guests. We appreciate any and all engagement that you give us. It helps us grow as a podcast. It helps reach more people. So we appreciate it.
Hey, I'm Effie Brown, and you are listening to Sister Brunch Podcast.
Another hard part is financials. So we have a segment we'd love to ask our guests, and it can be both or. We'd love to know about budgets. So like Real Women Have Curves through Dear White People and onwards. And then your salary, if you're whatever you're comfortable.
I'll say this. I think people need to talk numbers because like secrets sort of keep us siloed and colonized. And I mean that.
Yep.
Typically a producer is supposed to get 5% of the budget. No matter how many of the producers are, like you get 5% of the budget. I have never really made that. Like on Real Women Have Curves, like I think I made $75,000. Right? Do you know what I mean? But that movie is done. I mean, here's the thing.
I'm going to go into the thing.
Like, you know what I mean? Of like, so like 75 grand, you know, Dear White People, I think I made 20 something. I think it was so low, which is why I did Project Greenlight, because my house was going to be foreclosed on and my car repossessed. Like there was a real reason why I was like, where they were like, Effie, you know, you can make $150,000 doing Project Greenlight because that was the 5% of a $3 million movie, right? Mm. And I was like, I'm like, great, because I can get, you know what I mean? Because I really, you ever watched that movie, not The Short Bus, what was it called? The Big Short. We had The Big Short where like people like got their houses and then like, and I watched that movie and I was like, oh my God, I'm the stripper. Like I should have never bought my house. Right. You know what I mean? They literally were like, they just gave me this loan. And I was like one of those people that was like, I got a house. And they're like, you stupid, stupid girl. Like you have to, whatever. So, but like I managed to keep my house, which is the only reason, one of the only reasons why I'm still producing is because I have that asset of a house. Right.
Yep. Yep.
But anyway, but like for Dear White People, I underpaid myself so much and I didn't go and do the Netflix show. Like there was drama that like I wasn't invited to go do the Netflix show. I just did the movie.
Goodness.
You know, I mean, I think I get on people's nerves. Like I will also say, like, I'm gonna be real about it. Like I'm not for everybody. You know what I mean? Like
the older I get,
I think the better it. But like I think I get on people's nerves.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean?
Well,
like,
everybody,
like I'm good at my job. Okay. I'm good at what I do, but I'm seeing some people are just like, ooh, that bitch. Do you know what I mean? You know what I mean? So like, and also I'm like, it's that Matt. Like,
but
you
look
know,
where, but look at what you're but doing and where you
now,
are.
But yes. I'm also one of a certain age where I can have a little bit of distance and go back, you know, and be like, like you probably could have handled that better. Mm-hmm. You could have done that, like not lead with the chip on your shoulder. Like there's, I mean, like I'm grown now.
Yes.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
But like going back to money. So Dear White People, like I really underpaid myself.
Okay.
And truly like, and people are like, oh, well, you have back end for the movie. Like I think I made, and this is like, and I think the movie's like 10 years or so. I think maybe the residuals, I believe, might be $8,000 I've gotten. And it was just the last time. Like, we just got it like a year ago.
Oh, my goodness.
If I'm not, you know what I mean?
Let me ask you about that, too. So for when you're a producer and you're like 5% of the budget, when you're negotiating then, and yes, certainly you want to talk about back end, but let's say in the beginning you're, you know, someone's expressed interest. And is it on a timeline? Is it when you say 5%?
Like if you get like, if it's a $3 million movie or $1 million movie, like you should get like, the norm, like you're working from 5% of the budget.
Okay.
A lot of times with producers, I'm a part of an organization called Producers United, where we're all coming together to be like, we're being cannibalized. We're not being treated like filmmakers. We're being treated like tools and we're treated like employees, but we're the first ones that like of your little 5%, because you never really get 5%.
Right.
If you're doing a $10 million movie, you ain't getting.
So how much do you make sure you're getting
so
up front?
So that's when you, it's really important for you. Like for me right now, like I'm grown, where I'm like, okay, what do I need in order to live? Like if everything goes to hell, my mortgage is this, my car note is that, and like I'm grateful I have my dogs, they got to eat, and you know, and I love my Instagram purchases, and I got to afford my step bound. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
So I got to afford my little couple hundred dollars a month to get my shot. We'll talk about that. I love it. I don't care. Do you know what I mean? That's how I know. I'm like, so I have my budget.
Okay.
Like, what do I need to make?
Okay,
and then that's how I'm able
that's
to say,
how
can
start.
I make it? And there's some moves, like now I have a company, so I'm in a different place, but like there's some moves, like, oh, I have, I guess, a $500,000 movie, and I'm like, ooh, love you. I'm too grown for that. Like, I can't, I can't maneuver off of that, but so-and-so can, and I can EP.
Yeah. Like, okay. So,
sorry,
so
no, we're trying to go fast.
No, but I have you, I'm going to take full advantage.
I was like, I'm going to get in trouble.
And you'll love our next guest. So okay. All right. So financially, it's helpful to know 5%. If you're a producer, you're getting in the game.
You should go work from 5% back. But it's very rare that like you can like people are like, we can't afford 5%.
Right. And then you negotiate and you
deferment. I'm just going to be, let me just give you a thing. Like, okay, you got it. Like, I'm just saying, if I could talk to my younger self, I'd be like, all right, first of all, this is what you need to do. Like,
okay, hold on. That question's coming. Okay, that, the younger self question's coming.
Well,
so hold that.
Well, the younger
this
self
is what
money.
I want to
well,
know.
Then there
okay.
you go. Because I guess it's about
100%.
Got you.
Here's my question. Okay. So I just want to make sure, honestly, I understand this and any producers listening or emerging or, you know, hopeful producers, the 5%, if that's what you're going to go in with and you're going to be like, I get 5% of the budget. Do you break that down into payments?
Yes, or, you should break it down to like 10%,
20%, 60%. How much of that would you ask for up front before you get on to the project?
You should definitely get, like, and there's part of things that we're doing at Producers United, like a development piece, right, at the very beginning. Because a lot of times, writers will get paid, people will get paid, and we're just sitting there breezing our papaya.
Right.
We're like, what are we doing? Do you know, so we should get a development fee, part immediate, like a commencement fee, for sure.
Right.
And then once you start prep, it's like, okay, we're officially greenlit. You can get like you just like either 10 or 20%, like, and sometimes it's good to get it cut up like bi-weekly, which is fine instead of chunks, but it's like whatever you prefer, as long as you get it. Do you know what I'm saying? As long as you get it and don't defer or don't put back like, oh, 5%, but I'm going to put 2.5% back into the budget. Mm-mm. And it'd be like, don't do
that. That's yours.
Because you know what? You know who doesn't do that? The director. You know who doesn't do that? The actors.
Right.
Who doesn't do that? The writers.
They take that's their personal money. You're not going to put it back into the production. That's your salary.
Exactly.
That's what you got paid.
And not only that, but like people realize if like people think, oh, you're making a movie. It's like a movie takes like a good year and a half.
Yes.
Like, do you know what I mean? Like from inception, whatever, like I'm not inception, but like from when you're producing it, you have to do post on it, then you have to deliver it, then you have to get it out. Like, and you're the one, like, the director can go off and do another movie. Writers are writing other things.
You
actors
are
acting.
It.
You're black ass, loving
the
my heart.
Whole damn
you're sitting
time.
There like this
you
and being like, I'm still the one on the hook. Do you know what I mean? The deliverables and rebates and all of that. Anyway, it's a deal.
Thank you so much. All right. Our next question is Let's Talk Tech. So this is our next segment, Let's Talk Tech. And this is a piece of tech or terminology, whatever it is, where somebody who doesn't do your role in the industry, if they hear that, they have no idea what it is.
I don't know. I might not be able to answer this question the way that you want. Like for a tech or thing, I mean, maybe. I mean, I do feel it's a sort of word. Retro tech. And I'm going to go like a sewing machine and I'll talk about like a little bit of like what, like that's a piece of technology that people have kind of forgotten about, which is sort of like a granny hobby and a skill, but a sewing machine, because that keeps me together. And, you know, and then I also think AI. Do you know what I'm saying? Like these are the two things. We have the retro tech and future tech. I am in like right now, I'm in that world where I'm like, and with the platforms and AI and how it democratizes and how it can be ethical. It can take over the world and be Skynet and we'll all be like Sarah Connor. Like, you know what I mean? In the future.
Which but takes like, you back. That's how you started on it. I'm ready.
You know, but also like, you know, like and moving forward and doing all of these things, like I've gone, like I have a sewing practice. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Conjure Quilts, it's on Etsy.
Tasha, will you bring the bag?
Oh, my God,
let's bring the bag, not the pillows, just because I don't want to evergreen. Well, really, I just want to make sure we're not, but the bag.
Just a tiny bit.
Tasha,
but like,
come in, Tasha. This is Tasha Rogers.
There's Tasha.
Give me
your
dinner.
So this is what I do. So I make quilts, like the old school, like granny quilts. These are like the little dot, the little makeup bags that I do. Because if you notice, that's like people of color and women, right?
Yes.
So everything that I do is inclusive. Like the him like going, and it's conjure quilts,
it
like a conjure woman, right?
Ooh,
so like
conjure,
because you
yes.
have to manifest, right? Like that's
yes.
a big deal.
Yes,
dude, it's a
Effie.
Big, it's a, anyway, that's my thing. I'm going to put
it
up like I'm shilling.
I love it.
But I'll just
love
put this
it.
Right there.
So,
but anyway, but like, but yes. I go like for, sorry, but the thing for me for quilting and the practice is that like when you're in this business, like from the Project Greenlight, so you're making something out of nothing and maybe you're not being treated well, maybe you are being underpaid. I was underpaid. So, you know what I mean? Like, and it's, those are secrets, like people are like, oh, people think that you make so much money. Like sometimes we don't. Sometimes we're really broke. Yeah. Sometimes we can't go outside. Sometimes we need to figure out what can you do. Like, you know, if you're not a good meditator or you can't do that. Like, so that's when I started sewing and I quilt and I put disparate pieces, like your granny used to, like disparate pieces of material together that are all different and they can come together and make something whole. Like that something is like my world. Do you know what I mean? Love like it. From people, groups, things yes. coming together and we create a whole and something that's useful. And everybody needs a blanket. Everybody loves a cuddle, no matter how rich you are, poor you are, black you are, Latino you are, whatever. It doesn't make a difference. Yes. Everybody needs that. And then it helps me think and get myself together because to be able to dream and to manifest. Do you know what I mean?
I do. I do, Effie. So, let's also go ahead and define or describe verticals because I think there's going to be a lot of listeners that are hearing this for the first time. And in the industry, it's certainly like this growing opportunity.
It's a bit of a
vertical?
So a vertical or a micro drama is a story that could be like a half hour or 90 minutes, like almost like feature length, but it's cut up into 2 to 3 minute episodes, right? Sort of like an old school web series, but even shorter. But what's interesting about it is that like it's always leaving you on a cliffhanger to where you have to watch the other one. And it's on a platform, they're shot vertically, you're watching them vertical on your phone, and you're able, like you get the first five or whatever are free, and then you have to pay for the next, right? The next ones. And what's great about this as an industry, it's a short buy-in, right? So like you make them for like a couple hundred grand, usually like 150 or lower, you know? And like, and they're not like, you're not making Citizen Kane. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, let's be very clear. So like a little bit like Candy Crush with a narrative and you make the, but what we're trying to do is like, a lot of them right now are, not with people of color. Let's just say that.
Exactly.
And what we are doing is that we're focusing on with our stars and we're focusing on with people of color and women and sort of, and not sort of, but we are elevating the storytelling, and hoping that it, you know, that we catch on. Do you know what I mean? And
I'm
what's
so
great
excited is, about what Quibi was, right? This is what Quibi was
ahead
supposed
of, it was ahead
to be,
of its time.
But
okay, yeah.
The fact that we are ahead of the game finally, and this is why I'm glad to hear you talk about AI, 100%. Even though I'm also afraid and also I use it. The we don't need to be left behind on this one. We got
we
left behind on gaming.
Left,
we got we left
can't.
Behind. We're not going to be left behind on these.
And don't be afraid of technology.
I
like
love
that's
it.
Where it's like
I love
you
it.
Absolutely and unequivocally cannot be afraid of technology. You have to. It's a tool.
Yes.
And you have to be able to utilize the tool.
100%.
Period. Also, David Oyelowo and Nate Parker also have a platform called Monza. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
So, and I'm trying to get like where all of us are like win together. That's the thing that's different about this is that like, we will not cannibalize each other. We will all be able to be like all boats rise and we're talking to each other. Like that's the thing of being like, ain't nobody, like we're going to cross promote. We're going to do the thing.
Love it.
And utilize
love it. And
all
elevate
resources.
Together. I love it. Okay. Final signature Sister Brunch question.
Yes.
You and your younger self are sitting down to a Sister Brunch. What are you both eating? What are you both drinking? And what do you tell her?
Okay, this is not going to be politically correct. Okay, so like this, so like,
it's all good.
What are we eating? We're eating gumbo because I've been really, gumbo has been on my mind. Like I kind of want to like, like a good like Louisiana, like, you know, panhandle, like nice. My granny's like gumbo, like that's what we're eating. What are we drinking? It's funny, I'm 18 years sober. So I'm like this, I'd be like, stop drinking. Like that might be
yes. And don't even get, because then you don't
I'm
have
like,
to
it's
do
okay.
What,
yes. You can't drink your pain away. It's going to be fine.
Okay.
So like, so probably something, hopefully non-alcoholic.
Congratulations, Effie.
It's like, but it's been like 100 years. And I'm super grateful. Could you imagine? So I'm very grateful about that. And then like the advice, like this one thing that's sort of funny. One's funny and one is real. They're both real. I'd be like, have a lot of sex. Because I'm a lady of I'm a middle-aged lady and it's really hard to like find someone, you know what I mean? What it's so where I'm literally like this. I'm like, hello. anyone? Nothing. I know that that sound desperate and sad.
Call no, it
me.
Did not.
Anyway, so I'm just kidding. No, I'm not. Please call me. I would tell myself, because I went, oh, and my younger okay. self, you know, was such like a, we gotta be. And they'd be like, girl, this is the skinniest you'll ever be, the cutest you'll ever be. Go out there and do it. You know what I mean? Birth control and be safe, but like go and get it.
Yeah.
And then the other thing would be like go to business school and learn about distribution because they eat first and eat the most. So that would be a
and we don't even know who are they. Who are these distributors, right? Like, is that because we haven't been able to get one of them on? We've got an acquisitions person, and that was a good step forward. Loretta Edwards Wilson, our guest last, but like distribution, and we're not there, are we?
Like, you mean people of color in distribution?
Like, are we in distribution?
Here's the thing: what's interesting. I think it's about entrepreneurship, and I think the people are owning the platforms. That is distribution. Like, who owns? Like, and that's where I'm a bit like. With Curb and Acuna, I'm like, great, they have a platform. For Monsa, they have a platform.
Yep.
But as
Quelli TV, we got a shout out to Shauna Spencer.
I'm literally like, I'm all for it. Like everybody, let's all like, you know, squabble up like together.
Yep.
That was me trying to use the young people terminology.
Is it squabble up? Okay, good.
I'm like, didn't Kendrick Lamar say that? I'm like, no.
I don't know.
Cut that out.
It sounded really good.
I'm sound like a middle-aged lady. They're like, she doesn't know what she's talking about. And I don't. But like literally that's where I think that we should be thinking of is like, how are we getting our product to the people? And eventually, I think it's really interesting. I think that all the studios are cannibalizing themselves, and they were never for us to begin with. So let's just stop. Like if people are like, what are you doing? Netflix, Warner Brothers, Paramount, this.
Yes.
And I'm like, you work with Paramount? You have a deal with Paramount, Netflix, Warner Brothers? Are you all, you know what I mean? There's like one or two, but there's a lot more of us on these streets out here in independent. Like, how are we going to get our information? Is it like Patreon? Is it going to be these platforms? Is it verticals? Is it YouTube? Like, how are we getting that and how are we able to monetize?
Well, I think since there's she said it, speaking of that, follow us on Patreon, patreon.com.
Good job.
We're really glad because we are building a community there for exactly those reasons, to have our own, right? And then to link together, work together, build communities together. So
100%.
Hear it from Effie Brown. Have lots of sex.
Literally,
whatever. Sex on. Go to business school.
Learn about distribution.
Yes. Effie Brown, we are.
You guys are so great.
So
there you go. Thank you. Thank you. This was really a lot of fun.
Truly,
thank you
so much, Effie. Sister Brunch is brought to you by Trujillo Productions. Our show creators are Anya Adams, Christabel Nciabwati, and me, Fanshan Cox. Our season 7 producers are Tasha Rogers and Samantha K. Henderson. Our associate producers are Charlie T. Savage and Ashanti Groves. Sister Brunch is recorded on the unceded territory of the Tongva and the Chumash people in Los Angeles and specifically in Hollywood at You Podcaster Studios, a Black-owned studio right in the heart of Hollywood. We are so grateful for your support, for joining our community on Patreon at patreon.com/sisterbrunch or donating at givebutter.com/sisterbrunch. Thank you so much for joining us, and we will see you next week.